So I do have an update for you about the newest skincare routine that I've been using because the results just keep getting better and better. Honestly, I was getting to a point where I felt like my face was looking a bit more tired. But now that I've used OneSkin each morning and each night for a few months, I can truly tell the difference. My face feels brighter, more hydrated. I do feel that it's making a difference in terms of visible signs of aging. And no wonder, because OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. Now, this peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells and boosts skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and protect against the elements. And all I have to do to have all of those benefits is cleanse and apply OneSkin's topical face and eye cream morning and night, and it's so easy. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code NEWSWORTHY at oneskin.co. Go and get this. You can get 15% off oneskin.co with the code NEWSWORTHY. And after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. So please be sure to support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Today is Tuesday, January 5th. What to know about today's high-stakes election in Georgia, why it's so crucial, and how candidates are getting some high-profile help in the final hours of their campaigns. Also, what countries are going into their strictest ever lockdowns to fight against the new strain of coronavirus. Plus, tech workers from a rare union, plans for March Madness in a sort of bubble, and what new dog breed is making its mark in the U.S. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. All eyes are on Georgia voters today. They'll be deciding the makeup of Congress, at least for the next 2 years. Because of the way Americans voted in the November Senate elections all across the country, we already know Democrats have kept the majority and more control in the U.S. House. But control of the U.S. Senate is nearly split down the middle between Democrats and Republicans. So that's why it all comes down to who wins these two Georgia seats now up for grabs. And even though Republicans have held them for the last two decades, that could change since analysts from both parties say the races are incredibly close this time around. And remember, that's why these runoff elections are happening at all, because those same races in November were so close that state law requires another go at it. So all in all, the candidates have spent more than a year campaigning, and it ended up being one of the most expensive Senate races in history. Democrats need to win both of these Georgia races to take control in the Senate. Republicans just need to win at least one of them to keep control. And having control in the Senate is crucial, not just for getting laws passed, but also for setting the agenda and even for confirmation hearings, or in other words, approving the next presidential cabinet and for any future Supreme Court justices. So since the stakes are so high, both President-elect Biden and President Trump campaigned there yesterday. At a drive-through rally, Biden stressed the importance of voting, saying unlike any other time in his career, one state can chart the course for a generation. And he called both Democrats in the running principled and honorable. Later, President Trump also urged Republicans to vote in the runoffs. He also spoke about his own election loss, claiming he actually won Georgia and that the election was rigged. Though keep in mind, the votes were counted there in Georgia three times with the same outcome that Biden won the state. By the way, many people in Georgia have already had their say in the Senate runoffs through early voting these last few weeks. In fact, the U.S. Elections Project says 3 million voters have already cast their ballots. That's nearly 40% of all of Georgia's registered voters. And today's turnout is expected to be high, too. We'll keep you updated. Tomorrow, Congress gets together to certify the results of the presidential election. And as we told you last week, dozens of Republicans in the House and Senate plan to challenge the outcome. Some say they at least want a federal audit of the election results. Vice President Mike Pence presides over the whole thing, mostly in a ceremonial role. Well, he told Republicans he supports their efforts to keep Trump in the White House. But some of America's top business leaders made it clear they do not. Nearly 200 top executives sent a letter to Congress pressing them to allow a smooth transition of power. They include the CEOs of Microsoft, Lyft, JetBlue Airways, and the drug maker Pfizer, just to name a few. So far, no official response to that letter. Either way, the effort to change the outcome of the presidential election during the certification process tomorrow is very unlikely to succeed. At this point, the Republicans trying to do this would need a majority in both the House and the Senate. And don't expect that to happen since Democrats control the House. And many Republicans in the Senate have actually already accepted Biden's victory. But tomorrow's meeting will likely have some tense moments, so stay tuned. Britain is back under a nationwide lockdown as the new, more contagious strain of COVID-19 sweeps the nation. Prime Minister Boris Johnson ordered all schools and colleges in England to close. He also asked all Britons to stay home unless they're essential workers or if they're buying food and medicine. These restrictions will be in place at least through the middle of next month. Scotland also went under a similar lockdown this morning, and that's also in effect for at least another month. Leaders of both countries are acting now because hospitals are overwhelmed, and they're blaming the new variant of COVID-19 for spreading even faster than the first strain. Speaking of which, the new, more contagious COVID-19 is now also in four states here in the U.S. New York is the latest to confirm a case. The strain has also been found in Colorado, California, and Florida. And many health experts have said it's likely across other states, too. But not every testing site is even checking to see which strain of COVID-19 people are getting. It still seems like the new variant doesn't cause more severe symptoms, but it does spread faster. Scientists do believe the vaccines on the market should protect against both forms of COVID-19, although more data is needed. Either way, doctors are reminding people that masks and social distancing work against this strain as well. Today, Saudi Arabia and Qatar are expected to sign a new deal that could help mend ties in the region. The U.S. has had a big part in getting the two sides to this point. In fact, White House advisor Jared Kushner has been working on it for months. As Axios reports, it involves Saudi Arabia reopening its land border with Qatar. Also, other countries like Bahrain and the UAE will have to unlock their airspace and waters for Qatar. In return, Qatar is expected to, quote, pursue more open-minded engagement with its neighbors. And everyone is supposed to stop media campaigns against each other. Now, this comes more than 3 years after Saudi Arabia cut ties with Qatar, claiming at the time that it had supported terror groups and aligned with Iran. But the U.S. has been friendly with both sides. And now it looks like the deal is done. Kushner even left Washington for Saudi Arabia, reportedly for a signing ceremony as soon as today. More news is coming up, but first, this episode is brought to you by Noom. If you ever feel lost with all the different contradictory information out there about health and habits, Noom works to simplify things and help you turn your personal health goals and aspirations into reality. And not just for the month, but Noom uses psychology and education to help you stick with it in the long term. Noom's cognitive behavioral approach is meant to help you build habits without an unrealistic, rigorous plan or unforgiving lifestyle. You set your goals and Noom helps you get there. And Noom knows you're busy and doesn't expect to dominate your life. It expects just 10 minutes a day of your time. And there's no bad food. It's more about understanding cravings, helping you eat and feel better, and knowing how to shop. There's also easy food logging and a way to chart your progress for your own healthier habits. You can sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Noom wants you to know there's a science to getting healthier. So go to Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to the news. The NCAA is making a big change to this year's March Madness. The entire men's basketball tournament will now be held in Indianapolis, Indiana, and its suburbs. The legendary tournament is usually held in cities all across the country. But this year, the NCAA wants to limit travel and keep players in what ESPN calls a bubble-like format. The goal, of course, is to prevent a COVID-19 outbreak. Remember, last year, the event was canceled altogether at the start of the pandemic. So this year, the NCAA is pulling out all the stops to ensure it'll go on as planned. On top of limiting the event to one city, all players, coaches, staffers, and officials involved in the tournament will be tested for COVID-19. Plus, teams will have to abide by social distancing guidelines. And only a limited number of family members will be allowed to watch the games in person. In case you're wondering, Indianapolis, Indiana was picked to host the tournament mainly for two reasons. One, it was already scheduled to host the Final Four. Plus, as the AP puts it, Indiana is known, perhaps more than any other state, for its love of basketball. A healthcare venture started by some of the world's most powerful companies has fallen flat. We're talking about Haven Health. The firm was launched about 3 years ago by Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JPMorgan Chase. The idea was Haven Healthcare would transform healthcare. It was supposed to reduce costs for hundreds of thousands of workers at those three companies by pooling resources and technology. As the Wall Street Journal reports, Haven was supposed to find innovative ways to improve access to primary care, simplify insurance coverage, and make prescription drugs more affordable. But Haven struggled to make any real changes to healthcare and dealt with constant turnover among its employees. So it's now shutting down. The Journal says this just proves how challenging it can be to make sweeping changes to the U.S. healthcare system. As for Haven, Stat News reports it'll cease operations at the end of February. It's a rare move for the tech industry. A group of Google workers formed a new labor union to try to force changes within the company. It's called the Alphabet Workers Union, and at last count, it had about 225 members. That includes people from both Google and its parent company, Alphabet. The AP reports they want more of a voice, not just when it comes to wages and benefits, but also when it comes to protections against discrimination and harassment. They also want to have a say in ethical questions related to how Google pursues its business ventures. Remember, Google has come under fire from some workers in recent years. For example, in 2018, thousands of them staged a walkout saying the company protected sexual harassment offenders. So they hope a labor union will give them a little more power. Google responded by saying that it supports labor rights and that it will, quote, keep engaging directly with all our employees. The first full workday of the new year got off to a rocky start for people all over the world. One of the most widely used workplace messaging platforms was down for several hours. We're talking about Slack. Users started reporting issues at around 10 a.m. Eastern time yesterday, and about an hour later, Slack said on its website it was dealing with a full-blown outage. By late afternoon, the company said most of the problems were fixed. At this point, though, it's not clear what may have caused this disruption, but Slack says it's looking into it now. The American Kennel Club is recognizing a new dog breed. It's called the Beaver Terrier, and it's now the 197th breed on the Kennel Club's list. It has a long, flowing coat and is only about 4 to 8 pounds in size. If you're trying to picture it, it looks most similar to a Yorkshire Terrier. Breeders say it's a pretty loving and easygoing dog. Now that the breed has been recognized by the American Kennel Club, it can compete in dog shows all across the U.S., including the famous Westminster Kennel Club show. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, this episode is brought to you by Rothy's. Start the year off right with the newest Rothy's styles, like comfy shoes, brand new bags, and washable masks. I've now gotten 2 pairs of shoes from Rothy's, and it's just the beginning. Because now that I've experienced the style and range of options, the reliable comfort with no break-in period required ever, and Rothy's great customer service, like free shipping and free returns on eligible items, I now know I can trust this company, and I love ordering from them. I'm still amazed that I could wear my Rothy's flats right out of the box, and they were comfortable from day one. I also really appreciate that Rothy's keeps sustainability in mind all along the way. To date, they've transformed more than 70 million plastic water bottles into their beautiful shoes, handbags, and face masks. It's no wonder Vogue has called Rothy's a, quote, personal obsession, and Health Magazine called them the, quote, most comfortable shoes on earth. So check out all the amazing shoes, bags, and masks available right now at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's Rothys, R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Again, head to rothys.com/newsworthy today. All right, now back to Trivia Tuesday. So today's trivia question is, in what cartoon did Mickey Mouse make his public debut? You can answer this week's question in our quiz posted to Instagram stories, so find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along. As for last week's trivia question, when did the New Year's Eve ball first drop in Times Square? The answer is 1907. The idea to have a New Year's Eve ball drop actually came about because of a ban on fireworks in New York City, and that basically set in motion an annual tradition that's watched by about 1 billion people all around the world. The very first ball was made of iron and wood and weighed about 700 pounds. It was decorated with 125-watt light bulbs to give it some added flair. Over the years, though, the ball has evolved. There's now been 7 versions of it, and the most recent one weighs nearly 12,000 pounds and is 12 feet in diameter. It's also bedazzled with about 2,700 Waterford crystals. Shout out to Kel, Lori, Jesse, Natalie, and everyone who played along on Instagram. All right, thank you so much for listening today and making the newsworthy part of your daily routine in 2021. We'll be back with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.